When Roger Federer executes a perfect forehand or Mozart's compositions dazzle us, we instinctively attribute their success to natural talent, an innate gift bestowed upon a fortunate few. But what if everything we thought we knew about exceptional performance is wrong? What if the greatest athletes, musicians, and intellectuals aren't born with special abilities, but develop them through specific processes anyone could potentially follow? Consider my own journey as Britain's number one table tennis player. I initially attributed my success to personal qualities like speed and mental strength. The truth was more complex. I had extraordinary privileges, a tournament-quality table in our garage, a passionate brother to practice with, and guidance from Peter Charters, the nation's top coach who recruited talent from my primary school. Most significantly, I lived on Silverdale Road, which produced more elite table tennis players than the rest of Britain combined, not due to genetics, but because of concentrated opportunity and coaching. Had I lived just one door down, I would have been in a different school district, never meeting the coach who changed my life. This pattern repeats across fields. What appears as individual merit often masks hidden opportunities and circumstances. Almost every triumph against odds reveals unusual advantages when examined closely. Takeaway: success isn't primarily about natural talent, but about access to opportunity, quality coaching, and dedicated practice, factors often invisible in the polished narratives of achievement we consume. Anders Ericsson's 1991 study of Berlin violinists revealed a clear pattern. Elite performers had logged 10,000 practice hours by age 20, significantly more than their less accomplished peers. The best had practiced over 2,000 hours more than good violinists and 6,000 more than future music teachers. This pattern emerged consistently across disciplines, from chess to golf to mathematics. Excellence typically requires 10 years of intensive practice with no shortcuts to elite status. Even prodigies like Mozart weren't purely gifted. His father Leopold trained him intensively from age 3, accumulating 3,500 practice hours by age 6. His first masterpiece came at 21 after 18 years of practice. Similarly, Tiger Woods began training before walking, with his father Earl starting him just before his first birthday. Takeaway: what appears as natural talent is actually the result of roughly 10,000 hours of dedicated practice over 10 years. Despite 22 years of driving, I'm not world class. I've developed bad habits from driving on autopilot, my mind wandering to other things. The difference between ordinary and extraordinary practice is purpose. Berlin's top violinists practiced with intention, constantly pushing their limits. When Chinese champion Chen Sinhua coached my table tennis, his multi-ball method challenged my capabilities with varied angles and speeds. At Guildford Spectrum, 16-year-old Kirsty practices the triple salchow. Elite skaters distinguish themselves not through genetics, but through their practice style, attempting jumps beyond their current abilities and embracing falls as learning opportunities. Olympic champion Shizuka Arakawa fell 20,000 times before winning gold. Takeaway: excellence requires purposeful practice, pushing beyond comfort zones, embracing failure as feedback, and focusing on improvement rather than repetition. In 1996, chess grandmaster Garry Kasparov defeated IBM's Deep Blue computer despite the machine calculating 100 million positions per second compared to his 3. This victory demonstrated that deep knowledge outperforms raw processing power. Kasparov's advantage came from recognizing chess positions as variations of familiar patterns accumulated through decades of experience. Under blitz conditions, with just 6 seconds per move, chess masters maintain their performance quality, often selecting the optimal move first, proving that expertise relies more on pattern recognition than exhaustive calculation. This principle extends beyond chess. Hockey legend Wayne Gretzky's genius stemmed from his ability to recognize patterns in seemingly chaotic gameplay, developed through rigorous practice. I worked hard every day. That's how I came to know where the puck was going before it even got there. Takeaway: expert performance stems from sophisticated pattern recognition developed through sustained practice, not from innate talent or processing speed. Carol Dweck identified two mindsets: fixed, intelligence is unchangeable, and growth, intelligence can be developed through effort. In studies with difficult puzzles, children with fixed mindsets quickly gave up when struggling, while those with growth mindsets persisted. Over 80% maintained or improved their strategies, often solving problems beyond their skill level. Dweck's experiment with 400 fifth graders showed that children praised for intelligence, "You're smart," chose easier tasks to protect their status, while 90% praised for effort, "You worked hard," embraced challenges. When facing impossible tests, the smart group quickly discouraged, while the effort group persisted. On subsequent equal difficulty tests, the intelligence group's performance dropped 20%, while the effort group improved by 30%. Takeaway: our beliefs about ability, fixed or growable, fundamentally impact our performance and resilience, with mindset-focused language capable of transforming outcomes. Standing behind the curtain at the 2000 Olympic Games, I waited to face Peter Frans in a career-defining match. When it began, my body wouldn't respond. My technique vanished, and I lost 21-8, 21-4 in a humiliating collapse. My coach's verdict was simple: you choked. Choking, called the bricks in basketball or the yips in golf, transforms elite performers into novices under pressure. Unlike minor performance dips, it represents complete collapse. Neuroscience shows this occurs when we shift from implicit to explicit brain systems. As we master skills, control moves from the conscious prefrontal cortex to automatic areas like the basal ganglia, allowing complex skills to become fluent. Under pressure, we revert to conscious control, micromanaging movements that should be automatic, as when Scott Hawk missed an 18-inch Masters putt after obsessing over technique. At the 2002 Winter Olympics, speed skater Sarah Lindsay overcame choking by repeating, "It's only speed skating." As psychologist Mark Bodden notes, athletes must believe performance means everything to reach world-class levels, but that belief triggers choking. The key is ditching that belief before competition. Takeaway: peak performance requires caring less in the moment, trusting our well-trained implicit systems over outcomes. The journey to excellence isn't about innate gifts, it's about purposeful practice. What appears as natural talent is actually thousands of hours of dedicated work, often unseen. Science shows our brains and bodies transform through practice. Musicians develop enhanced finger control regions, taxi drivers improve spatial navigation areas, and athletes' bodies adapt to specific demands. This neuroplasticity explains experts' seemingly superhuman abilities. They've built different neural pathways through deliberate practice. Excellence demands both physical and psychological mastery, requiring a growth mindset that views challenges as opportunities and pushes beyond comfort zones. Extraordinary performance isn't limited to the genetically blessed, but available to anyone willing to commit. The real barriers are psychological and social, our beliefs about potential, access to opportunities, and persistence. Will you admire natural talent from afar, or begin your own journey toward mastery? Excellence isn't born, it's built, one practice session at a time.